From Sacramento, the Bishop's Radio Hour with Bob Dunning. Focusing on today's issues in the context of gospel values. Now, here's Bob Dunning on Relevant Radio.
That's me. Welcome to you on this beautiful day the Lord has made. Appreciate you all being with us on the Bishop's Hour as we enter our 20th year on the air here. So thank you all for listening, and thanks to all the underwriters who have supported our program as well. We are pleased and honored to be joined by Christine Watkins, author, speaker, faithful Catholic. Christine, good morning.
Good morning.
Good to have you with us in studio. I'm looking at this wonderful new book, powerful new book, that you have written, Of Men and Mary. One of my kids was just doing a term paper on Of Mice and Men, and I looked at this and I said, Of Men and Mary. Got a lot of M's in there.
Yeah, the book doesn't contain any mice. I'm sorry to disappoint.
That's good. That's a good thing. Of Men and Mary, How Six Men Won the Greatest Battle of Their Lives. Six very different men, a convicted murderer, a football player. A football player tackled by the Blessed Mother. I'm a big football fan. I want to hear about that one. Tell us what brought about this book. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm a convert to Catholicism. My claim to fame is having done everything wrong. I was a huge sinner, and I was anti-Catholic, anti-Christian.
Really anti, or very,
attention to it? No, when I saw a Christian of any denomination saying they love Jesus, I was so embarrassed for them. Mm-hmm. I just thought, well, that's like saying that you just saw the fairy godmother.
Still believe in the tooth fairy? Yeah.
Yes, it was exactly like that for me. So
tooth fairy's real, by the way.
Oh, but darn it. Well, that's what I tell my kids. I'm such a liar. Isn't that horrible?
Easter Bunny, too.
Yeah. Well, he's dead to them now. Jesus rose. that story ended up in my first book because I was supposed to die from my sins, and I'm alive only because Mary asked Jesus to save me. And that's in the book Full of Grace, Miraculous Stories of Healing and Conversion Through Mary's Intercession. So then I got another calling from the Lord to do more stories because that was a bestseller and people were converting to the faith, and it was such an explosion of the Spirit. And then I found stories that honestly some who've read this book already have said this is even better, and I was not expecting that. So these are stories of men who've had amazing, astounding conversion stories involving Mary. And it's giving people a lot of hope, a lot of hope. And a lot of women are trying to change their men or their sons, and it's working, and they're enjoying it so much as well. So it came about, I think, because the Lord wants people to know, hey, I love men. My mother loves men and can see through the heart of every man, even a convicted murderer, even a man caught up in sexual sin of all sorts, even so-and-so. I love them, and I see the core of their soul, and I can change that man through and through. And that's what we see in the book. It's so hopeful.
All through the Blessed Mother?
With her help.
Wow. So how do you know that the Blessed Mother ask God to save you?
Oh, you're asking my story.
Yeah.
You have to read the book, Full of Grace. So,
you've written a number of books.
This is my third. Okay. Yeah, the last one was Transfigured. You may have interviewed the protagonist for that, Patricia Sandoval.
Yes, I did.
Amazing. Yeah. Oh, unbelievable story of redemption. So, Transfigured. That's the crux of my whole story, is a moment where, well, my body's failing me, and I was very, very sick inside my soul. I didn't like the images or the names of Jesus and Mary. And I felt a friend was praying for me. I didn't know what prayer was and could have cared less, being with the attitude I had. And I felt this beautiful presence around me, within me. And I had cervical cancer, and I was going to die from that. And I heard a loud pop inside my body. And I didn't know what the expansive peace was. I didn't know. I'd never before or since heard a sound within my own head mm-hmm. and seen something explode. It was maybe the only. It was a unique mystical experience mm-hmm. that I've had. I've had other experiences of God, but that was very concrete. And it turns out the cancer was gone. And my friends wow. and I said, "What just happened to me?" And he said, "Christine, Mother Mary looked down on you from heaven, took pity on you, and asked your son to save you." So that was happening as his prayer at the same time I had my experience.
Wow. How long ago was that?
Oh, should I say my age?
Sure.
On the air? I'm 52 and I was about 26, 27.
Your exact age is my wife.
Ah! Yeah. So I've lived, about half my life on the dark side and half my life doing whatever trying to do whatever Jesus and Mary want me to do.
So this happened and you couldn't ignore it. You didn't just go, okay, well, thank you.
There were so many experiences after that, so many confirmations and my heart expansive and I was miserable.
Did you look at your friend and say, "I don't believe this was from Jesus and Mary," or did you?
I think when I had the pop and felt such a peace, like you just don't feel.
Yeah.
I felt like I was outside of my body. I felt like I was suddenly as big as a May Day float,
mm-hmm.
and it was a joyful, expansive peace. I was me, but I was more than me. I was my soul, and we don't. Actually, the one place I've experienced such a joyful otherworldly peace is Medjugorje.
Uh-huh.
And that's also comes up in the Of Men and Mary book. These men, two of them had direct callings to the priesthood in Medjugorje. Mm-hmm. The tackled by the Blessed Mother man, Father Michael Leitner, is one of them. It's just an incredible story. They did not want the priesthood and did not think it would bring them joy, and it brought them great joy. And the stories are miraculous and hysterical as to how
you hear they were a lot about Medjugorje, of course, because apparitions are ongoing. The church never gives up. The church will condemn if not, I don't mean just say it's not.
Real.
Not real, not yeah. to be not to be believed.
Right.
If it's truly something that hits them in the face, but they won't quote-unquote okay it or worthy of belief.
If it's still going on. Yeah,
because
it's extremely rare.
Something could turn. Yeah, but it has not been, it certainly has not been condemned by the church.
No, it's actually now in our day, right now in 2018, it could never be more positive, mm-hmm. positively viewed by the Vatican. The commission that was established by Pope Benedict XVI to investigate that they concluded unanimously that the first 7 days of the apparition were real
mm-hmm.
and that they're going to investigate the rest.
Right.
And they put that on Pope Francis' desk where mm-hmm. it is right now. And then the Pope Francis, chose a papal envoy named Archbishop Henryk Hozer from Poland, sent him as his personal papal envoy mm-hmm. to Medjugorje, where he handles the situation with the pilgrims. And the Archbishop has said such beautiful things. He said, "We allow diocesan pilgrimages now. We want to have Medjugorje conferences again." And he said in a press conference there, having seen the fruits and the joy and the multiple conversions, is, you know, spread the good news that in Medjugorje we can find the light again.
Mm-hmm. Well,
so that's pretty positive.
The fruit has been abundant.
Yeah.
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 Not
my husband's
to me,
a,
not
my
hu- to me too,
my husband is a is one of them.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
And I've heard stories from many many people. And of course, you hear wonderful stories of Lourdes and. Other
yeah,
places, which
she,
of course have been approved by the church.
Yes.
Yeah. But mm-hmm. even those that are approved, and people should know that, I mean, they're private revelation. You're not obliged
no
to
one
believe.
Has to. It's
yeah.
not necessary
exactly.
for salvation. No.
Exactly.
Mm-mm.
But it is always sometimes I guess it's heartening to people and it's helpful to people.
Well, the church was dying in Austria, and yeah. Cardinal Schönborn, the author of the Catechism, said it was because of Medjugorje that they were getting vocations. Mm. Yeah. So, God does it for a reason if it's authentic, of course.
Yeah. Well, and there are many, many people in this diocese that have gone to Medjugorje.
Yeah.
Well, tell us about the football player who got tackled by the Blessed Mother. Is she a linebacker? She's
the tiniest linebacker that we've ever experienced. Coming down the field. This isn't looking hopeful. Father Michael Leitner didn't come out the... it wasn't born with a collar on. That would be weird. But he came into this world as a big guy. And at age 14, he was 286 pounds
wow.
and 6'4" tall. My son is 100 pounds and 5'2".
Yeah.
Just would sit on him. And all he wanted to do was be a pro football player. And he was raised in a Catholic family, passive aggressively, would doze off during the rosary every night. And when he went to college, he said, I'm done with all this. I get to do what I want to do.
Yeah.
Drinking, partying, got in some drugs, womanizing. And he comes home for Thanksgiving, and he takes a nap, and he wakes up with a cellophane bag of his own marijuana dangling above his face. And so his mother was going to Medjugorje all the time, to the chagrin of the family. They thought she was kind of cuckoo. Mm-hmm. And so his sister was present there and said immediately when he was busted, you have to go to Medjugorje.
Oh, wow.
You have to go to Medjugorje.
And you have to learn how to spell it, too.
Well, yeah. Another guy, his friend, who had a huge, massive conversion, Father Rick Wendell, his story's amazing. He's the one who actually died for 2.5 hours. That's a story. But he says no one knows how to pronounce it. He calls it Medjuhuchi place.
Yeah, right.
So he didn't have to know how to pronounce it, but he got there because his mom was just as stubborn as he. And he ends up there, and his mom says, okay, I'm only going to ask one thing of you, son, and that's go to confession. Just promise me that you'll do that much here. And he said he would. So he goes there and he thinks, well, I'm gonna shock this priest. I'm gonna make his ears bleed. You know. So he goes into this tiny little confessional, and the priest was not shocked, but Michael Leitner ends up being shocked because when the priest starts saying the prayers of absolution, a physical force. He's on his knees. It thrusts him back. So he has his knees buckled under him, but his head and his body are being thrust to the back of the confessional, almost hitting his head on the back, and he can't move.
That's a 15-yard penalty.
So he's immobilized. And it was, and he had been asking God, are you a joke? Are you the craziest thing that you've ever fooled 12 men into being? You know, what is this? And God was saying, I'm real. I'm really. And he felt something really deeply pull the sins out of his heart during those prayers of absolution, and then went back into the church of St. James in Medjugorje, and then God took him into a state of ecstasy for about 20 minutes, and he said, I've had joyful moments on earth. I've had moments of pleasure on earth. He said, this was a billion times that. This was nothing that compares to earth. So that was the beginning, and it took another trip to Medjugorje and a rather amusing incident for God to make him a priest at that point, because he still just wanted to be a football player, and that was his dream. And he's at a healing service, and he's a big guy, so these people are being healed, and some of them are slain in the spirit, and so he's the catcher.
Fainting day in a way. Yeah.
And so one lady, she's in a wheelchair, and she has been paralyzed for years. She was in a car wreck. Her spinal cord was severed. And then she had spinal meningitis, which deteriorated the spinal cord in the bottom half of her body. Her legs were, the circumference was the same as Michael's wrist. She could not walk. It was a medical impossibility. And so this sweet little priest was praying and praying and praying over her. And Michael thought, why am I here? This is ridiculous. There's no point in this. Why is he wasting her time? But he wanted to leave. But the Lord, he felt, was making him stay with this woman as the priest prayed over her. And he after a while, he gets discouraged with the Lord and flippantly says, what? You want me to pray for her? Why are you keeping me here? And silence. He's like, okay, all right, I'll pray for her. And then the Lord actually speaks to her, and he says, Michael, if I get this woman up and make her walk, will you enter the seminary? Hmm. And he says, absolutely not. So another 20 minutes of anguish go by where he's thinking, oh my gosh, I just said no, but it would kind of be cool to see her walk, I guess. Yeah. So he says, okay, but he changes the game. He says, okay, I'll enter the seminary if you get her up and you walk her and parade her all the way around the perimeter of this church.
And if the seminary has a football team.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. And no blessed mother to tackle me. Right. And so the minute he says that, not more than 5 seconds later, she stands up without anyone telling her to do so. She stands behind her wheelchair and starts pushing it around and walking around the church. He says, stop! Somebody tackle her! Make her stop! He's just horrified, and he tries to change the deal again. And he says, no. And he's in the aisle just screaming. And he says, okay, Lord, only if she doesn't stop on that particular tile in front will I enter the seminary. She goes forward. She plants both feet on that particular slate tile in the church and sits down. And that was it.
Wow.
So.
That's pretty compelling.
Yeah. So that's the first story in the book of Men and Mary, how six men won the greatest battle of their lives. So that was a journey for him to let go of his dream and to pursue God's dream. And there's more to that. That's very beautiful in the book. There's kind of a mystical thing that happens around his dream of football that's very interesting. But he ends up realizing that really wasn't going to be his greatest happiness, that it turned out to be the priesthood. But it kind of goes to show that if we're not really aligned with his will, we have no idea what really makes us happy.
Yeah.
We just don't know.
So where is he a priest now?
In Wisconsin, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Well, how do you find these people?
You know, I kind of waited. I was collecting the best stories involving Mary that I could find. And so this one, he and I both spoke at a conference together, and when I heard his story, I thought, oh, that's a good one. So they came from Father Gary Thomas, the exorcist. He said that he wrote an endorsement, said the book was superb, and he questioned me. He said, these are almost too good. Like, what? He said, where did you get them? So I had to, because he said that, I wrote a whole thing in the front about where I met each one. One was actually through the internet years ago, and we became friends because of his testimony. Others were through conferences where they said their story, and I thought, oh my, God was tapping me on the shoulder saying, can you, you write this down so more people can know about my grace, how powerful I am in this time.
So the man who died and came back to life, he was clinically dead for 2.5 hours?
He was, and I know him. He stayed over at my house. He's not a charlatan or crazy. He is actually friends with Father Michael, and they got their vocations around the same time and through Mary as well. He was a kid who always, his mother said she was just trying to keep him alive because he was such a daredevil. He would jump off of freight cars and do daredevil ski runs, and he was always getting broken bones and such. And his life was as wild as well, in terms of he was multi-talented, great actor, sports person, achieved well in academics, had huge parties with porta potties, the whole bit, and a band, and many girlfriends, sometimes at the same time. And he ends up owning his own construction business. He's wealthy. He has his own home. He has boats. He gets his trophy wife, and he said he wanted to marry her because she was the prettiest one with the most money and liked the same stuff he liked on pizza. And so he ends up getting a nail when he's doing a construction job in his gouge in his face, which needs his stitches. His mom takes him to the hospital. He starts to have a rapid heartbeat on the way back when his mom's in the grocery store, and he doesn't know what's wrong with him. So he gets out of the car, goes into the store, and on the way in, he collapses. And he grabs a clerk and says, "You're going to have to do CPR," and then he's down. It turns out he had an anaphylaxis reaction to the anesthesia.
Mm-hmm. How old was he?
He was 30 years old, in great shape.
Yeah.
And because he was
in... That kind of reaction can be fatal.
Yeah, and it turned out to be because he coded. He died on the way out in the ambulance. And the hospital staff worked very hard to bring him back to life because at his age and with that kind of heart attack, sure, there's hope. But there was no hope for him. He turned blue. They were going to harvest his organs. The family was called in to say goodbye. And he was saying that what happened to him from his perspective was in the ambulance. He saw the scene of his body there and the medical workers, and then he passed through the scene into light. And he said it didn't hurt his eyes, but the light was absolutely blindingly bright, mm-hmm, but soft on the eyes. And he said he knew without a doubt that he was in the presence of God. He also knew without a doubt that this was love. Mm-hmm. And he said, "I have never, ever felt what love was like until that moment." He said, "My mom loved me. My dad did his best. My fiance, we loved each other. But nothing," he said, "nothing compared to this." He said, I didn't want to be anywhere else. I wanted to stay with this light. For I was completely and utterly fulfilled." So he's in this light. He knows without a doubt that God exists, that God is more real than anything there is that is real. And he ends up being pulled eventually from this light. And what happens is he's being pulled back into his body, and his arm shoots up off the gurney, wraps around his mom and his fiance. The medical workers go crazy. It's still a documented, medical miracle with all the staff that were involved for hours with him. So they race him off. It turns out he's completely 100% healthy. He doesn't have anything wrong with him. And so that was the beginning for him. And walking through life after that was very different for him. He looked around and said, would look at what people were doing and what they cared about, and realized it was all nothing, a lot of it. And then God had him 3 days after his experience of being in the light, he was still in the hospital, had him feel what it was like had God not done that intervention of divine mercy, he would have actually gone to hell. And he felt what it's like for people to start descending downward. And he said, by my thoughts and by my actions and by the way I had lived, I had chosen it without knowing it. And he said that he was such a daredevil that he sought out fear. He wasn't afraid of much, but he said the fear that gripped him was so earth-shattering, and it was so terrifying to potentially be cut off from all that is good forever, with no parole, no way of getting out, ever. He said, I would not wish that on my worst enemy. And he said, people think God is too good for there to be perdition. God, there's no way that could exist. And he said, I think God had me go through this to say it absolutely does, and you don't want to go there, and you want to make sure that you live your life in such a way that heaven is your goal. You have to have a goal. Yeah. If you just wander around aimlessly, other forces could tell you to be worldly, to care about money, to sleep around with women or men or whoever outside of traditional marriage, to tell you that you get to do whatever you want. Right. And isn't that what most commercials say?
Oh, indeed. Indeed. We're with Christine Watkins. The book is Of Men and Mary, How Six Men Won the Greatest Battle of Their Lives. I think we have time to talk about one more convicted murderer.
Mm. His name is Jim Jennings, and he has a great sense of humor. Fabulous story. He would tell it at Marian conferences throughout the country when he was younger. He said, I was plagued with every vice imaginable. He killed people, and he was in a prison, and he had no desire to change whatsoever. He actually saw on television a film of the six seers in Medjugorje, the visionaries, as they were children looking up at Mary, and he thought to himself, I'm a con artist, and I have lived with them, and I know when people are trying to scam me. And he said to himself, they're real. They're not faking that. So, and then he turned to his cellmate and said, hey, they're seeing the Blessed Mother. And the cellmate said, who's she? And he thought, oh, he's dumb as a nail. he forgot about it. A few days later, he's walking with a prison mate in the prison yard, just kind of doing circles. All of a sudden, he wasn't walking with himself. And he realized he was with God and that God was giving him a choice. He said, he showed him a path to heaven and a path where he was headed the other way. And he said, which one do you want? And Jim said, I'll choose that. I'll choose heaven. And he would try to reach or move his spirit towards heaven, but it would be blocked. And he realized that he was trying to get there, but still maintain his ways of thinking and being. So he was trying to bend the curve, and it wasn't bending. And then he realized, oh, okay, you're going to make me change in order to get there. So one by one, God revealed his sins to him. And one by one, Jim said, okay, all right, I'll let go of that. Okay. And he said it was like digging out a huge garbage can, one thing after another, till there was nothing left. And he'd said, all right, I'll let go of that. Long story short, a newsletter about Medjugorje by Wayne Weibel ended up in the prison, along with a Queen of Peace prayer group with these little ladies coming in trying to help them in. He read it, and it talked about Mary's love, and he was intrigued. He's like, love. And she would say, love the love that's in your heart. And he's like, love the love that's in my heart. He just didn't get it. But he decided he wanted to please her. So he would do these wonderful things. Like, he hated this one guy. They were in line to get muffins or something in the cafeteria, and he was cutting everybody. And he said, give me your muffin. And Jim goes, you can have mine. And undercut the anger immediately, or he'd want to stare with lust at a woman, and he'd guard his eyes. He was trying, and he started a prayer group. Men started to come to the prayer group. They started to convert. They started to pray for healings for and help for their family members outside the prison. Those started to be granted. And the whole prison, not the whole prison, but those who answered the call started to change. So that's how she infiltrated
the
prison.
And he one day got out of prison.
And he did, and he got married, and he lived a life that was normal after that.
Has he died?
He recently died, not just 2 or 3 months ago.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Wow. These are fascinating stories. How can people get the book?
They can get the book at queenofpeacemedia.com, and there's a wonderful book trailer that has the faces of the actual men in the stories. You get to see what they looked like. And it's Of Men and Mary, How Six Men Won the Greatest Battle of Their Lives. You could also go to Amazon.com, but www.queenofpeacemedia.com is where you can also get it and see the trailer, the video trailer.
You have something going on down the valley this weekend?
So at Our Lady of Assumption in Turlock, California, starting this Sunday through Sunday evening, 6 p.m. through Wednesday evening, I'm giving a parish mission.
And what does that mean? You hear about parish missions for people who've never been to a parish mission. What is that?
Parish mission is a chance to be revitalized in the faith. It's a different experience than what people normally get at church. And I found when you put people in a unique situation like a retreat or something, the Holy Spirit can work very powerfully. So in this case, the parish mission is my giving talks every night. And then also there's music, there's some videos, there's guided prayer with music, there's adoration, confession, depending on the evening. So if one goes to the website of Our Lady of Assumption Church in Turlock, California, they'll find it.
Not the one here in the Diocese of Sacramento.
Not the one in the Diocese of Sacramento. But I should also put that flyer on the Queen of Peace Media website. Sure. I think it's under my speaking schedule. But it's a chance with prayer, with speaking a parish mission is a chance to get a shot in the arm. And this is a kickoff to Advent, to do Advent in a way that really changes us.
Yeah. Advent starting on the 2nd of December.
Yes, that's when the mission starts.
Oh, great. Down in Bishop Cotta's diocese.
Yes.
The Diocese of Stockton. That's great. Christine, awfully good to see you.
Thank you.
Where are you speaking in this area one day soon?
That's being arranged right now, but I don't have a date. But that also on the Queen of Peace Media website, you can sign up for a newsletter, and then I always send out the dates. In February, at the same church in Turlock, there's going to be a conference, which is called Seeking the One, Going After the One Who's Lost, and that should be great. It has a lot of great speakers. So look for that at the same church in Turlock.
Very good. And Turlock, if you haven't been there, from Sacramento, it's maybe an hour and a half, something like that.
Yeah.
It's pretty close by. Just go down Highway 99.
Blessed Mother will get you there.
But Blessed Mother gets you there. Yeah. Christine, thanks so much. Thanks for all you do.
Thank you.
We will take a quick break, and we'll be back with more on a Bishop's Hour right after this. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the St. Vincent de Paul Society. Drop by and shop at their thrift store, a beautiful, beautiful thrift store at 2275 Watt Avenue. Open Mondays through Saturdays from 10 to 8 and Sundays from 11 to 6. They also accept donations at the store, donations of furniture, appliances, clothing, books, everyday household items. Your donations help to fund the many projects of the St. Vincent de Paul Society throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Do such wonderful, wonderful work, and the thrift store is one of the ways they raise the funds to help people throughout the diocese, and also many of their clients are able to access the thrift store for items that they need. You can give them a call. They will come pick it up as well, but you can give them a call. They're at 916-972-1212. And remember, again, the thrift store is open 7 days a week at 2275 Watt Avenue right here in Sacramento. Well, Bishop Soto refers to Christ the King Retreat Center as the jewel of the diocese, and indeed it is. What a beautiful oasis it is. It's located in Citrus Heights, right in the hustle and bustle of the city, and you feel like you're getting away from it all when you turn off the main road and just come into Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center. Christ the King has served Northern California and the Diocese of Sacramento for over 60 years through parish weekend retreats, individual spiritual direction, and a variety of other programs. For information on all the programs that they offer, including residential programs, give them a call. They're at 916-725-4720, or you can visit them at 6520 Van Maren Lane in Citrus Heights. And we certainly thank the St. Vincent de Paul Society and Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center for their fine and longstanding support of the Bishop's Hour.
This is Bishop William K. Wiegand, the Bishop Emeritus of Sacramento, and you're listening to the Bishop's Hour with Bob Dunning.
Thank you, Bishop Wiegand, and thanks for all you have done and continue to do here in the Diocese of Sacramento. Well, an interesting program coming up. Echoes of Worth is going to take place in March, but they're taking signups already, March 29 to 31 at the beautiful Trinity Pines Catholic Center up in Colfax. Registration has opened. You can go to trinitypinescatholic.org. And we're pleased and honored to have the executive director of Echoes of Worth, Andrew Brown, joins us now by phone from the city of San Jose. Andrew, good day to you.
Good day to you, Bob. How are you?
Very good. Good to have you with us. How are things in, all these cities in California named after named after saints?
Right?
It's God's little joke on the secular.
Huh? We need one for John Paul.
Yeah. Yeah, it's we just keep naming them, you know. We've got the City of Angels and City of St. Francis and on and on and on and on and on. San Diego, even
great stuff.
Even Sacramento, you know, named after
Amen.
The Blessed Sacrament. Andrew, tell us about Echoes of Worth.
Sure. So a couple of years ago, I worked normally in parish life as a youth minister and a director of religious education. And a couple of years ago, a few friends of ours, youth ministers, we gathered together and we said, we got to talk to our teens about some issues of chastity and theology of the body and you know, holy dating. And what was going to be just a little lock-in, which is a youth minister's term for sleeping over at the church hall all night and just watching video games and playing fun gym basketball sports and whatnot. It kind of evolved over 6 months into a wonderful weekend retreat with 20 parishes from six dioceses in the San Francisco Bay Area. And it evolved to having guest speakers and essentially Echoes of Worth, the theology of the body retreat for high school teenagers. Mm-hmm. And this will be our fifth year offering it in the Bay Area. And we are so excited that the Diocese of Sacramento has partnered with us to bring us their very own up in Colfax, as you were mentioning, at Camp Holy Trinity Pines.
So, and it's three days and two overnights?
Yep, Friday through Sunday.
Mm-hmm. And it's for young men and women?
Absolutely, yeah. High school students, typically ages 13 to 18 or 14 to 18.
Okay. And again, you can go to trinitypines.org to learn all about it. What are the challenges with a program like this, and what are the challenges these kids at this age are facing?
Oh, so many. Well, I think John Paul's work was so instrumental and prophetic back in the day, before even social media existed. You know, and when he was giving his 129 audiences from 79 to 84. And just words of question of who is the human person, what's our identity, what's our purpose for our bodies, and the gift that we are in our sexuality. And as I mentioned, it's very prophetic, as today we are just bombarded with messages that are confusing and conflicting and contradictory to the teachings of the church and essentially to the mission of Jesus Christ. So for a young person to be bombarded with confusing messages and ideologies, it's really important for them to hear the truth and love of our Lord, done with clarity, but also done with a lot of charity. Mm-hmm. The weekend retreats provide an encounter of the living God, where they're able to understand that they are made in God's image and likeness, that they have a plan, that they have a purpose, and that their ultimate call is to holiness, a radical holiness.
So what are the toughest questions kids that age ask?
Oh, the toughest questions they ask is, why does the church, hate gay people? Or they say, if I feel this way today, what does that make me? Am I accepted by the church? Or mm-hmm. or they ask questions such as, why can't I do whatever I want with my body since it's my body? Mm-hmm. And so just typical questions that I think young people are seeking answers that have maybe been around for multiple decades and generations, but nowadays they're kind of given this green light to do whatever, wherever, with whomever, and whatever flies.
Yeah, indeed. And so can they bring their iPhones? That's the big question.
They can bring their iPhones. We do encourage it. So it's funny. They're allowed to bring they're allowed to register as an individual or as a group, like a parish youth group. So we've noticed that some parishes, they just don't have the time or capacity to work another weekend retreat because our parishes are just doing some great ministry. So we provide an opportunity for them just to have the students sign up by themselves, or they can sign up as a church youth group or as a Catholic school campus ministry. And we found that by providing this outlet, it affirms some of the students who may be isolated or trying to find new friends, or maybe students whose family support in teaching them theology of the body. But then we also find that other parish youth groups come together, and their youth ministers really want to hammer this point home or hammer this message home with their teenagers. And so we've had youth groups that, you know, from a cell phone technology perspective, some youth ministers say, no phones at all, we're just totally diving in, full immersion. But we also have other youth groups who are like, no, please take pictures and share them on social media. We want the goodness that is available to the church and to the world to be on display, to be shown. And so we do have pretty active social media accounts for that reason. And we encourage our teens to be a good evangelist on the technology side of things.
Is Echoes of Worth, is it a growing movement?
Absolutely is. We started with just offering a weekend retreat, and we've kind of developed into offering more adult formation. We've brought in some big theology of the body names, such as Katrina Zeno from the Diocese of Phoenix. And this year, we're bringing in Bill Donahue from the Theology of the Body Institute from Pennsylvania for adult formation. So that adult formation is coming up December 15th in the Diocese of San Jose. But we also expanded our ministry last year to have a young adult camping trip, where we also studied some of John Paul II's works. And it's called Peak, such as the Mountain Peak. Mm-hmm. And we were actually very blessed to be in Las Plumas National Forest up in the Diocese of Sacramento.
Wow. Yeah, that's a beautiful area.
It really is. Really is. Even in the midst of this recent fire damage, it's sad, but, you know, God's nature will take its course, and it'll be refreshed, revitalized, and brought back to new life.
So if somebody's listening, you know, has a teenager, teenagers are maybe in school right now, maybe they're listening, what would you say to them if maybe their kid's kind of wrinkling their nose and saying, oh, I don't want to go to that?
Absolutely. It depends from a perspective of a parent who's got an engaged student in the church, life of the church, versus maybe not so. I mean, there's not a cookie-cutter answer for all the family situations and dynamics. But, you know, we tell people that two things. One is we hope and pray that they don't regret after the weekend retreat that they attended. Mm-hmm. And even there have been young people who have attended because maybe their youth minister signs them up unknowingly, or they're having to make up a confirmation retreat, and so they attend this retreat, and they don't regret attending the retreat at all. They really don't. And how could you regret truth? Right? Once you experience the truth of Jesus, once you encounter the love of God, once you're surrounded by just general happy and hospitable and welcoming teenagers, how could you not want to be in that kind of a presence? But the other thing is, we do have parents who say, I'm sorry, this is my Christmas present to you. You're going on this retreat, right? And so, therefore, I, as your parent, I want you to hear this message. I don't know it all. I can't explain it all to you, but there are others who can, and I affirm what they do, so you're going. And there are others who are just enthused to attend. We had a young person last year who attended our Bay Area retreat, and she was just so happy. She said, I feel so affirmed because I thought I was alone. Mm-hmm. I did not know that other people agree with what I believe. And so, you know, in this world, we need to find like-minded, or we say like-hearted individuals to really build community and foster the true teachings of the church within themselves and with other like-minded, like-hearted members of the church.
Andrew, if you have parents there that maybe they're curious but they're not so sure, is there a website? Where can they learn more about Echoes of Worth?
Yeah, we do have our own website. It's called echoesofworth.com, and we actually have previous years' audio files for them to listen to under the media and resources page. We have essentially the past 4 years of audio recordings from a lot of the talks and the homilies and the worship experiences that we have for all, not just parents, for anyone to listen to grow in formation and to seek a better understanding of John Paul II's instrumental work.
Very good. And again, it's March 29th through the 31st in Colfax. It's open to all high school students, whether they're in Catholic school or not. Registration has already opened. It's $125 for the whole weekend, which includes, the lodging and all meals and activities, et cetera. You can go to TrinityPinesCatholic.org to learn all about it and to sign up. Andrew, thanks for all you do, and thanks for very much for joining us today.
Absolutely, Bob. Anytime. Thank you.
Hey, God bless. That's Andrew Brown, the executive director of Echoes of Worth, and program that will be at Trinity Pines March 29th to the 31st. Again, TrinityPinesCatholic.org. Now, the World Youth Day is a call to all Catholic youth and young adults to renew their faith in Christ and prepare themselves for the work of the new evangelization that lies ahead. World Youth Day, we think of it as a summer event. Well, this is a winter event, at least a winter here. It will be taking place in the great country of Panama, and boy, are they excited in Panama about having World Youth Day there. The Holy Father, of course, will be there. But if you can't make it, and Bishop Soto will be going to Panama, and he will be part also of a live stream from Panama for a virtual World Youth Day taking place at Trinity Pines Catholic Center up in Colfax. You're invited to join an overnight pilgrimage right here in the Diocese of Sacramento at Trinity Pines Catholic Center for fellowship, prayer, food, and a celebration through a live stream to Panama for World Youth Day. It all starts Saturday, January 26th at 1 p.m. It includes a live stream with Bishop Soto live from Panama, and then a dinner, and then Sunday it will end at about 11 a.m. At Trinity Pines will be Vince Nims, Catholic musician and youth minister, plus the Amped Youth Choir from St. Clair's Parish in Roseville. It's just $20 a person. It's an absolute steal. And if you pre-register, you'll receive a T-shirt from World Youth Day. You can go to scd.org/WYD. That's scd.org/WYD to learn all about it, January 26th and 27th. scd.org/WYD. Also, there will be a year-end retreat at the Mercy Center in Auburn. It runs from December 28th through January the 1st A new dawn of divine dwelling, to say yes, to uphold as sacred the whole of creation, should be a wonderful way to end the year and start the new year. You can call Jackie Coffer at the Mercy Center in Auburn. It's 535 Sacramento Street in Auburn. Her number is 530-887-2049. That's 530-887-2049. We'll take a quick break, back with more on the Bishop's Hour right after this. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the Mercy Foundation, enriching lives in the Sacramento region through Sisters of Mercy Ministries in healthcare, education, housing, and the care for the poor and elderly. For the Mercy Foundation, philanthropy is one of the most powerful expressions of compassion and love. Just as many people in our community need a hand, countless others are reaching out to them with comfort and hope. You can express your care and concern for the less fortunate with a gift to the Mercy Foundation. You can give them a call, 916-851-2700. That's 916-851-2700. And you can be confident that fully 100% of your contribution will support the Sisters of Mercy Ministry or ministries that you choose. And what a wonderful treasure Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts has been for all of us here in the diocese as they transition into new ownership and management. They continue to offer wonderful workshops, wonderful resources for the Catholic community throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Not only does Easter's provide a wide array of Catholic books, both current releases and longtime classics, but they also sponsor a number of valuable workshops and lectures throughout the year. They're located at 6916 Sunrise Boulevard in Citrus Heights. Give them a call, 916-338-7272. We also receive a generous underwriting support by Crumley & Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. If you have questions about retirement, Crumley & Associates can help you with their confident retirement approach that can help define a clear roadmap to get you where you want to go. You can contact them, get all the details at Crumley & Associates, 7956 California Avenue in Fair Oaks. They're at 916-638-4600. That's 916-638-4600. And we are certainly appreciative of the fine and longstanding support of the Mercy Foundation, of Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts, and of Crumley and Associates.
Hello, this is John Watkins, Director of Catholic Charities and Social Concerns. You are listening to The Bishop's Hour with Bob Dunning.
That's me. Thanks, John, for all you do here with Catholic Charities and Social Concerns. And a lot happening, obviously, with the terrible campfire up in Butte County, and John and his staff working very hard to provide relief there, along with all kinds of organizations in the St. Vincent de Paul Society up there in Chico in that area, and also the Knights of Columbus. Well, Patty Suter joins us from St. Maria Goretti Parish, and a great weekend retreat coming up. Patty, good day to you.
Good morning, Bob. How are you?
Very good. Good to have you on again. Tell us what's happening at St. Maria Goretti.
Okay, well, this weekend, which is we're beginning Advent, we are having a very special retreat starting on Saturday, December 1st, and we have a visiting presenter from Alabama.
My goodness.
And his name is Father Dan Good. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've ever heard of him. He's the pastor of St. Philip and St. Michael's Parish in Alabama. Mm-hmm. But he is just a real energetic, positive, spiritual guy. And some of our parishioners had heard about him, and they reached out to him, and he's excited to come to California. The theme of our retreat is preparing a place for Jesus. And Saturday, December 1st, from 3 to 5, is preparing a place for Jesus with the Blessed Mother.
Mm-hmm.
On Sunday, December 2nd, from 5 to 7 p.m., is preparing a place for Jesus with the Eucharist.
Oh, very good.
And then on Monday, December 3rd, we actually have, sorry, can you hear my cuckoo clock?
No, that's, I wish I could.
Okay, I'm sorry. On Monday, December 3rd, from 10 a.m. to 12 noon, and then repeating again from 7 to 9 p.m., is preparing a place for Jesus with mercy.
Mm-hmm.
And we're looking forward to it. Father Dan is described as a disciple, a priest, a canon lawyer, and above all, in love with his Savior, Jesus Christ.
Very good.
He's an outdoor guy. He loves fishing and hunting, watching movies, hanging out with parishioners and friends. And so we're really looking forward to his spirituality, but also his warmth and his preparing us for the very special season of Advent.
Very good. Do people need to sign up?
Nope. Just come.
It'll
be at St. Maria Goretti in the church. And our address is 8700 Bradshaw Road, mm-hmm. Elk Grove, 95624.
Very good.
And if anybody has any questions, they can absolutely call the parish office at 916-647-4501. 1-800-238.
Very good. Well, Patty, okay. thanks so much. I hope you have a great turnout. It sounds like a wonderful retreat coming up.
Thank you. Thank you, Bob, for taking the time to chat with me. And we look forward to having as many folks as like to join us for this. It's a wonderful kickoff and just a great opportunity to spend some time in church and get prepared for Advent.
Absolutely. Patty, thanks so much. God bless.
You're welcome. Thank you, Bob. Bye-bye.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it very much. That's at St. Maria Goretti. Ordination anniversaries in December here in the Diocese of Sacramento. Father Paul Han Mo Kim from 1995, Carlos Farfan, father, 2004, Father Carlos Farfan, Father Sloan Canicelli, 1987, Father Jerome Hernandez, 1997, Father Diego Baptista, 1969, Father Patrick Niaga, 2002, Father John P. Sullivan, 1972, Father Raymond Bucher, 1964, Reverend Thomas Davis, 1958, Father Michael Hebda, 1996, Father Lawrence Kathinji, 2003, Father Vladislav Borkowski, 1985, Father Abraham Chaco, 1988, Father Felipe Paraguaya, 1968, Reverend Aldrin Basarte, 1996, Father Dominic Tung Hung Tran, 1997, Father Josie Vatothu, 2009, and Father Sijo Sarayath, 2011. And, of course, Father Felipe Paraguaya, or Father Abraham Chaco was 1988, and Father Felipe Paraguaya was 1968. So congratulations to all them, and thank them all for their great service to the Diocese of Sacramento. Underwriting for the Bishop's Hour is provided by Catholic Funeral and Cemetery Services, a ministry of the Diocese of Sacramento. As a church-owned nonprofit founded in faith, Catholic Funeral and Cemetery Services is dedicated to providing education, support, and resources during life's most difficult moments. They will make every effort to enable you to realize your final wishes while empowering families to make completely informed decisions. You can give them a call. They are at 855-525-2285. That's 855-525-2285. We're also brought to you by a generous grant from Christine Cipperly, marriage and family therapist. If you're looking for help with family or personal problems, if you'd like help from someone with a Catholic point of view, someone who understands the importance of marriage and family and affirms the dignity of every human life, Christine Cipperly is a trained and experienced counselor of married couples, families, and individuals. She can work with you on your marriage, your parenting, or your individual struggles in a way that will not violate our faith. Christine is a wonderful, wonderful therapist. Give her a call. She's at 530-400-4757. That's 530-400-4757. We'd like to thank Christine Cipperly and Catholic Cemeteries and Funeral Services for their fine and longstanding support of the Bishop's Hour. That's going to do it for us for today. Thanks for listening, everyone. God bless. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Hello, this is Jennifer Campbell, Director of Trinity Pines Catholic Center. You're listening to the Bishop's Hour with Bob Dunning.
I was sure by now, God, you would have reached down and wiped our tears away. Stepped in and saved the day. But once again, I say amen, and it's still raining. But as the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through the rain, I'm with you. And as your mercy falls, praise the God who gives and takes away. And I'll praise you in this storm, and I will live. gone.